Whenever I go to a restaurant, particularly somewhere I have never been before, and we finally have a seat and the waiter brings a menu that is longer than the 32 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica, where it's just pages after pages of options, anything you could dream of they can make in the kitchen, I have the hardest time knowing what to order. That I experience what some call over-choice. It is just choice overload, which we experience in all different ways in life. Like walking down the aisle of the grocery store and seeing the endless options of cereal. Or the number of news outlets online. Just too much information that we could ever consume. Or then the number of options of entertainment, streaming and downloading around every single turn, that we're almost paralyzed in knowing what decisions to make. Now, some degree of choice in life is good. But there is a point at which there is a poverty in the excess. When there is so much to focus on, it's hard to focus on anything at all. We're just pulled in so many different directions that we can even get confused about what truly matters in this life. So the prophet Micah does his best to scale down the options, knowing that we are seeking after what 1 Timothy calls the life that really is life, what Jesus calls an abundant life. So Micah begins by asking the people to recall all the different ways God has been there for them, saying, remember Moses, Miriam, and Aaron leading us as we were liberated from Egypt, where God stayed with us every single day while we were in the wilderness? Or do you recall how King Balak of Moab sent Balaam to harm us, and yet God blessed us instead, leading us out of the wilderness, over the River Jordan, and into the land we would call home? That after Micah recalls all of these moments of grace in the lives of the people of God, he then poses a question. How then shall we respond? Should we bring God a burnt offering, a sign of our dedication and devotion? Should we bring calves a year old? Should we bring 1,000 rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Should we bring our firstborn? And before the people have a chance to ask that rhetorical question, Micah answers it for them. None of those things are required of us. And then he offers a very simple list. We are to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. That nothing else has to be added to that short list. That's what the Lord requires of us. When I was in the 10th grade, I had to take geometry. I had to memorize the Pythagorean theorem because I really needed to measure the sides of a right triangle. And I had to learn how to use a protractor, measuring the degrees of angles in all sorts of shapes. And then they taught me how to use a compass in geometry, which is different from a compass when you go camping. It's that tool that fans out, and on one end is a sharp metal point, and on the other end, you insert a pencil, and then you put the sharp metal point on the paper, and you use the pencil to draw a perfect circle. And I had to learn the difference between the center of the circle and its circumference, which sounds rather easy. The center is that middle part of the circle, and the circumference is the length of its outside. But as it turns out, it is rather easy to confuse the circumference of our faith with its center. And Micah does not want us to get confused, focused on everything that we see and experience in the circumference of life, and confuse that with what is at its center, giving us a clear vision of this life that really is life. That it is, as Wayne Muller writes, doing good requires more than simply knowing what is wrong. And too often, the church has gotten so focused on everything that is wrong that we find at the circumference of life that we have lost sight of what is at its center. Doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. That was so much found at the circumference of life, there has been a rise in what some have called the fear of missing out, or FOMO for short. That if we choose one thing, we're constantly looking over our shoulders, wondering if we are missing out on something better or something more important. And it is fueled by all of the posts and pictures online as we compare our lives with others and we don't feel like we measure up, or we are overwhelmed by the tsunami of information and possibilities that we are confronted with every day. But the prophet Micah sees things differently. He ascribes to what Oliver Burke calls the joy of missing out. That every time we make a decision about what is important, we automatically limit our possibilities. But Micah sees this as a gift, that when we make meaningful commitments and we live by our deep convictions, that is when we find our greatest joy. Because it's in those commitments and convictions that limit our other options where we are able to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. And Jesus points out where we find that kind of joy at the very center of our faith, when he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness." That Jesus turns to this crowd of people and limits their options. That Jesus just wants us to focus on a couple things. Where the poor in spirit are not consumed by self-reliance, but they turn to God and to others for help. And those who mourn do not deny their grief, shutting it out, but they seek comfort in the support of others. And where the meek do not rely on their own power, but rather they are focused on showing kindness to others. And where those who hunger and thirst for righteousness yearn for the goodness of God, not what is only good for them. And where the merciful are empathetic towards others, and the pure in heart are content with less so that others can have more, and where the peacemakers work for the benefit of everyone. And where those persecuted for righteousness embrace that narrow way that leads us to God's wide grace for all. That Jesus focuses our attention on the center of our faith, where the love of God leads us to the love of neighbor. And we focus on just those couple of things. Years ago, a young person brought me a book, and she said, "You've got to read this." And any time a young person brings you a book, you've got to read it. And I was interested not only in what the book said, but also why she was so interested in it. It was a young adult novel by the name of Life on the Refrigerator Door. For those who do not remember, of course, this is before the dawn of text messages, where families would leave notes for one another on the refrigerator door. Things like, "I'm going to Sam's house, I'll be back for dinner," or "I'll be doing homework with Katie after school," or "Don't forget your soccer game on Tuesday night." It's this running commentary of daily life. And the story begins with a mother and a daughter and all those growing pains of life where your parents just drive you crazy. But then the story takes a turn. Whereas it is so much about the circumference of life at the beginning, then the mother is diagnosed with cancer. And all of a sudden, the story focuses on what is at the heart of it all. That it ends up being through those notes on the refrigerator door where they learn to say the things that are hard to say, to ask the questions that are hard to ask, to express the emotions that are hard to share, to offer the essential blessings that we want to say to one another. There are times throughout the story where they want to just not deal with those things, to get caught up in what is at the circumference of life. But it's through these notes that they learn the value of what is at its center. That they discover the joy of missing out, of letting go of many other things and holding on to those things that focus in on the life that really is life, where we care for one another. About those things that are at the heart of our faith. And I think this young person wanted me to read this book because there was something about that story that resonated with something deep inside of her and inside us all. Where it is challenging to step back from the many things and to simply focus on what is at the heart of it all. But like the Beatitudes, how they focus us on the heart of our faith, that they lead us to the goodness and grace of God for all. Where in our commitments and our convictions, we do justice, we love kindness, and we walk humbly with God. Amen.